Good morning, everybody. Sorry, a little couple of minutes late. That's my fault. Doing a little bit of nursing duties earlier. Right, morning, last day, final day. Thank you all for everybody who's come this week. As I normally said it in the middle yesterday, but as I normally say, Andy is the racehorse guy. I am definitely not the racing guy. I really want to thank Andy for his time this week. And anything you do following any of this advice is at your own peril. I've really enjoyed doing it. I just want to say that. I will say it again at the end, but I think it's fantastic coming on, Andy. I've got the green on today for St. Paddy's Day. How are you, my friend?
I thought you had the green on for Sport in Lisbon. Well, I'll bring it up. You see, I can take it.
You've ruined my script, really, but there we go.
that was the point. I had a friend who was here at the Emirates last night. He said it was a cracking game. Hats off to the Portuguese team. Did well. One of those things, isn't it? But I did notice a couple of comments in the Telegram room last night, and people should really think before they put them. There was one comment with describing both Arsenal and Spurs as tragic, but the gentleman didn't say who he supported. But unless you support someone like, you know, I suppose United a little bit, we've all had our downturns, haven't we? And another one from a Man City supporter. Well, wouldn't the sensible thing, we just had this same conversation, wouldn't the sensible thing to keep Arsenal in Europe, as they've only got one focus now? That would have been the sensible. I want Man City to stay in the Champions League as long until the final.
Yeah. I mean, it was lovely to see Aaron Seaman in action last night, I have to say. It was lovely to see.
But I'm afraid, modern goalkeeping these days, isn't it? Because
I do think it's done Arsenal a massive favour just to have one game a week to concentrate on now.
What will be, will be. And
it was lovely with a tinge of disappointment. It was one of them.
Yes, I know you have some financial fantastic goals with several of the FTS lads from what was it, at Christmas do, wasn't it?
I won't be doing that again. Fantastic goal, though, wasn't it? Well, the goal was, to be fair, it was a fantastic hit by the left.
Yeah, fair play, but a good goal. To be honest with you, I haven't seen the Arsenal goal yet. Anyhow, doesn't matter. We move on. More important things. How am I going to learn to play that piano?
Yeah. Well, Cheltenham, getting myself in a bit of a pickle. Did get on Boy Allen, but let's go through the races yesterday before we start. Just say some good mornings. Morning, Derek. Morning, Matt. Morning, Matthew. Morning, Aidy. Morning, Raymond. Morning, Barry. Morning, Steve, Kevin Kelly. Morning, all day four of Andy Slaughter and Ian. Lovely. Morning, Mark Pillar, Roy Davison, Sam Cassidy. Lovely to see you, Lee. Lovely to see you. Thank you, AD. Thank you all for coming in. Right, where are we? 1:30 yesterday. Mighty Potter went off 4-6. I never ever thought it was winning.
I mentioned this last year from yesterday that the warning signs were there last year when it had a real, it didn't really figure in the race. And although it went down a lot better this year, I didn't like the way it finished the race at all. If you watch the head on, I mean, it's going to end up in the betting ring if it goes any more right-handed, which was good. But I've said this to the lads on my service. I've said consistently over the past probably couple of months, the best English jockey riding at the moment by far is Harry Cobden. And he rode them to effing sleep there, to be honest with you. The horse has got form around the court and he just rode everyone to sleep. I've just done all the sectionals on it. And he just absolutely rode them to sleep. Fair play to the horse winning. Nice for the owners group, which, you know, they're a massive group. They've got loads of horses. A friend of mine's got about 25 with them in various bits. I think he might have a bit of that one. And they give a good opening into ownership for them. And I thought he jumped really well. He jumped really, really well. But you give someone a lead like that, I'd be worried about Mighty Potter and what they do next with him. Because that's too, it might just be the course. It's two blowouts around there. But I would be a little bit worried. If you can get a copy of the head on, then just watch how much he hangs in the closing stage. And I never like horses that do that. stage star. Where do they go with him next? I did think he reminds me a lot of, if you're plotting next year, there's a race, the Old Rowan at Aintree. I think that's, he looks very much in the stamp of that. Good front running ride. Yeah, good solid horse. I think he'll do well in sort of top handicaps next year.
Yeah, I never thought Appreciate It was winning either. It got to about 2.3, 2.4, yes. But I never ever felt that was going to be winning.
A little bit. I think he's getting a little bit old. There's only 9 to go novice chasing.
Yeah, so, I just
went clear to the horse. He has had some injury issues as well. So
yeah, I went on the fact he was 9, but hadn't had many runs. But
without the winner, the story of the race is the run of the second, not long till May.
40-1.
Trained by Laura Morgan, who is a fantastic trainer. Of the smaller trainers out there, I would have no hesitation if I was lucky enough to own a horse sending it to her. She is very, very, very good, and hats off to her. She's a very good trainer. Keep an eye out for her. If she gets some, you know, she gets some decent horses, she will really fly. She's very, very good.
And the having back Nichols in the first on Tuesday, first on Wednesday, he then goes and trots up in the first. There you go. The next race, you basically grabbed it by the nuts.
Well, I did until the starter had tried to grab me by the nuts. Don't start me. Don't set me off on Cheltenham starters. If I could round them all up and put them in a big bus and send it over a cliff, I would. Every single year, they want to be stars of the show. And when they could let races off, you know, let them go. Let the bloody thing go. He nearly ruined this all. I mean, this thing must have had about a stone in hand to win as it did, because it never jumped hurdle. If you watch the fourth last, if it jumped. Hats off to the kid who rode it, Liam McKenna, because he never gave up on it. I mean, I'd virtually given up on it. Hit 200 in running. How it didn't hit higher than that, I've got no idea. I mean, I was watching Mill Green and walking on air more, and then all of a sudden, this thing comes flying up the far side, and, you know, shows what a good trainer Tony Martin is. But if this thing didn't have about a stone in hand, there's no way that wouldn't have, no way with that one. But the starter, I mean, he nearly ballsed up another race later on, and they do it all the time. They drive me absolutely mad. Why do they let, I think Simon Holt in the commentary, in the last race, in the amateur riders race, they sent them miles back. Why do they let them cut? It stands to reason. If you send, the further you send back horses, the more they're going to build momentum up to come into the tapes, which they don't want them to be going too quick. You're not meant to be above a rising trot. So why send them so far back? It's absolute common sense. I drive me mad. Cheltenham starters, just bin them.
He's off. That's my rant
of the day. Having said that, great to see Good Time Johnny win. Hope a few people are on. Mill Green ran an absolute cracker. Walking around. Keep an eye on this horse. He will make a very nice novice chaser next year. And there's one other in the race. Now, he didn't run. You might not think he might have run well yesterday, but the 14th home, Maxim, didn't really get a run. He's still well handicapped. In fact, if they run him back off his Irish mark or something like Punchestown, I'd still be with him there. So make a note of that one.
Right, okay, Max, and as you mentioned him actually in the preview, yes, so didn't you as well? And then the 250, I said I thought Shishkin wasn't going to turn up. It turned up for about the last 200 yards, closing. I thought Envoy Allen ran really well yesterday.
Well, Shishkin is just a complete enigma. I mean, I think it leaves little doubt in my mind that they've made a balls here. Much as I hesitate to criticise someone like Nicky Henderson, who's trained far more winners in Cheltenham than I have, and far more winners overall. But have they not missed a trick running this in the Gold Cup? It's probably would have stayed 3 miles, worth a chance. Clumped every fit. I mean, he's done as well as he has to get as close as he has. I mean, they've got another chance to step him up to 3 miles. They could run him in something like the bowl at Aintree. And I think that's where he goes next. As long as they can hold him together physically, and he looked like he had yesterday. Envoy Allen, again, one of those sort of horses who's a little bit in and out, but came back to form yesterday, again highlighting how good the form of the Bromhead Yard is at the moment. And then I thought French Dynamite ran an... he's a bit of a favourite horse of mine. And I thought he ran an absolute cracker yesterday, French Dynamite. I did trade him during the race, and I thought he ran an absolute belter. This horse he's going to be one of those horses who falls between the two stalls of probably being too good for handicaps and not quite good enough for graded races. But I think he's a cracking horse. Few disappointments in the race. Janadil never jumped. He's done that before. He's run well on a comeback run before and then just bombed out after that. Blue Lord just didn't look the same horse. Fury Road was very flat. All in all, I thought the race fell apart a bit, but take nothing away from Ember Allen. Good ride. Look back to his best. Shishkin, you've missed a trick, Nicky.
Yeah. And then the stayers, just say another couple of mornings. Derek McGinty's asked whether you own or have shares in any
horse. I own a very, very, very tiny share in a horse called Jaramillo at the moment. And I have owned a lot more in horses, a lot bigger shares in horses in the past. Probably the most notable ones, horse called Greenwood, who was quite a decent sprinter. Horse called Salute, won a 50 grand race at Salisbury. And a horse called Colonel Mustard, not the Colonel Mustard that is running now, who I was surprised not to see in the county hurdle today, who ran an absolute blinder in the Moor Battle Hurdle at Kelso the other week. They must be saving him for something. But he won a few races on the all-weather. So, yeah, I've owned a few dubs as well in the past. No, most notably, a horse called Denmark, who I could have beaten on a rusty bike.
And morning, Kerry. Lovely to see you. Just woken up. Back from another brunch, I expect. We've got
back from William Hills.
So a bit of a surprise in the stayers hurdle. Sire Du Burlet coming in at 33-1. T Hoopoo actually finished second. Dashiell Drasher finished second.
Yeah,
T Hoopoo then got promoted. We have been asked if you've got any views on that. Cost them about 38 grand, didn't it, in prize money?
That was real. I've seen loads of other results. It should have, if they're turning that around, there's loads of other results it should have been turned around. That was absolute bollocks, in a word. I've got a friend of mine who's a massive Dashiell Drasher fan, and he always backs him in every race. He traded him for £1,000 green book yesterday, which was great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really good. And I have another mate of mine who I do another podcast with, who actually stuck up Sire Du Burlet on a preview a week ago at 100-1. Unfortunately, I didn't listen to him because I was waiting for the horse. If the horse came back to form, I thought it would be at Liverpool rather than here. But hey-ho.
Leona Mare stuck it up.
I did notice that there was hardly anyone on Twitter who hadn't backed the winner.
Yeah.
One of those.
I hadn't. My hot info on Blazing Cal, I'd given up on that after about 3 furlongs. Florian Porter, I never thought was winning.
He was the one I traded because there was a big move just on the off when he lined up at the front. I think there were a lot of people put off trading that in a front running sense because of the presence of Dashiell Drasher. But once he got out in front of him, and again, Danny Mullins gave him a good ride. Both Florin Porter and Blazing Cal had interrupted preparations, and I don't think you can really get away with that at Cheltenham. Classical Dream was disappointing again. The French horse was just never in the race. All in all, I think it probably summed up the staying division this year, that the staying division is a complete and utter mess, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, said
that. If all those met again, I wouldn't be surprised to see a completely different result.
As we said at the time, it looked a completely much more open stayers in the morning, didn't it? And then the 4:10, a horse I'd not seen mentioned anything, Seddon. Didn't see the race, so I'm over to you.
Used to be trained over here in Britain, and it was John McConnell's first. He was the lad who trained the horse that fell at the second last on the other day. It was a welcome win of him. Good trainer, John McConnell. Nice to see him win. He then went and had a 1-2 in a race at Dundalk as well. He's a very versatile trainer. Seddon used to be trained over here. I think it was with Alan King at one stage. But they've done really well with it. Another good friend of mine who's a bookmaker said it was the only horse in the whole race that he didn't take a bet on. Complete and absolute skin of the race was for him,
wow.
Which I think after the first 2 days he probably needed as well. Fugitive ran another cracker as well. If you're looking ahead for him, Paddy Power Gold Cup would seem the obvious race for him next year. Thought Shake Him Up Harry ran well, Gerbery ran well. Horton Colour, I think he flattered the deceived, to be quite honest with you. I kept looking back at his run. I thought he ran okay, but I'm not so sure whether he's putting it all in, shall we say. I'd probably give him another chance. Good ride by Michael O'Sullivan again. He's a really promising rider. He's had a couple of winners already here at the meeting. So Scottish, just to cover him off. I think there's probably another day for him. I still think he's quite well handicapped. I think maybe a little bit of an experience. And the other one I put up, Marvel de Cerisi. Again, he traded quite well, was smashed off the boards, I think, while we were doing this.
Yeah, he was.
I don't think he was going well when he had to switch about three out and made a mistake there. He couldn't get back into it. I don't think the race really worked out for him. He's certainly one I'd be putting on a list to back another day, as I would so Scottish. And certainly Fugitive for the old Paddy Power Gold Cup next year is on my list already, although that is some 6 to 7 months hence.
Good. And then in the 450, I don't think either of us fancied the favourite. Lucia Lucia went off at 6 to 4, finished fourth. Again, I didn't see the race. Was on Magical Zoe, you came second. You Wear It Well won it at 16 to 1. But yeah, I did think that was the weakest favourite of the week.
Yeah, ran okay, but I think the level of form over here had probably been a little bit overplayed. Yes, I did. In the end, I did lay it because I just thought it was a stupid price. Came close with the second and third. The second, I thought, given a rather overconfident ride, I'm not saying that Magical Zoe should have won, but I think she probably comes out as the best horse in the race. If I'm looking at this in, you know, looking at her and the winner meeting again, then I'm with Magical Zoe again. Halka de Taba actually travelled better than I thought he would, or thought she would. Needs a thorough test of stamina. This horse again will be winning races. Princess Zoe ran well, as you would expect from a horse who's won group races on the flat. There's a few others in behind that ran quite well. I think Mullenberg actually didn't run badly to be ninth. The winner again highlighted how good Gavin Sheehan is on front runners. I saw somebody in a chat room criticise him the other day. I think he's a very, very good all-round rider, to be honest with you. And if he gets on, and if he gets on one that front runs, he generally is a very good judge of pace. And if I'm trading a front runner with him on it, I'm always feeling very confident. Gave You Wear It Well a good ride. Second festival winner for Jamie Snowden. And the winner is owned by Sir Chips Keswick, of course, who's an Arsenal director. So he did have a winner yesterday.
How do you manage to get that in? How on earth?
You wouldn't have backed it just on that, would you?
How do we manage to squeeze that into this? Deary me. And then the chips as well. Yeah. And then the 5:30, Stumptown was the third of the sort of what were perceived as the well-in favourites. I didn't see the race, but see it lost by a neck. So none of them prevailed. Angel's Dawn was one you fancied, you put in your blurb. You backed, traded, made a few quid on. So again, well done to you.
I did. Is it the first six, seven? Hang on, I've just got this here. I think the first seven home were all from Ireland. The first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Yeah, I thought they all, the majority of the ones are Beauport. They actually, the other two I stuck up, Beauport and Royal Thief. Both traded pretty well as well. I thought Royal Thief got a good ride from Jack Hendrick, who's a good £5 claimer, amateur claimer to keep an eye on. Mr. Incredible, he ran a very, very strange race. He's got a bit of a few sandwiches short of a picnic, Mr. Incredible. And he looked like he was going to come there and win it. I've got a feeling that he just didn't quite go through with his effort. Stumptown ran a perfectly good race. The only thing I could say is that I thought Stumptown probably the race he ran at Sandown was probably a little bit weaker than people thought it was. Angel Storm giving a good ride. And she, I mean, mind you, she did really route the third last, but she'd run a good race the time before. Dunboyne, again, another one who's a little bit of a head case. He finished fourth. I think it's a decent race. Wouldn't be surprised to see Mr. Incredible rock up in the... He's still actually in the Midlands Grand National, which is tomorrow. I'm not sure they'll run him in that, but he's still in the Grand National as well. But pretty strong form. I'd certainly be looking at Royal Thief again. I thought he ran a good race. And Angel's Dawn, very much. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not sure if she's got an entry. I need to check that. But I wouldn't be surprised to see her rock up in something like the Irish Grand National, for which she has an entry. And I'd certainly be relatively keen on her. I thought she ran well, one with a little bit in hand in the end, and was given a nice ride. But you know, nice. It was a nice end to the day. So eventually, after a few seconds in handicaps, I managed to crack a couple of them.
Yeah, well done. Very well done. And that's the work. See, the work you put in, son. Amazing how it works out, isn't it? Matthew says, if he was an owner, he'd have Gavin Sheehan over Aidan Coleman. And Lee Wilson asks you a question. Do you still trade the normal races or solely concentrate on Cheltenham this week? It means the Hexhams and the such like.
I must admit that the ordinary races this week have been very ordinary. I must admit, I have done probably three or four races to very small stakes. I generally look at them. I wanted to try and have a look at Fakenham and Doncaster today, but I've probably not got the time. And if, as I always say, if I haven't done the work, I don't trade a race. A bit like you in football. Not just going to come in here, or to use a sort of betting shop parlance, somebody comes in and has a look at the paper, goes like that, and suddenly they're up at the counter. If I haven't done the work, I'm happier to leave it alone. In fact, I'm probably struggling. I've just said to my lads, I'm struggling a little bit tomorrow. There's two very good cards at Kempton and Eutoxes tomorrow. There's four jump meetings on tomorrow. I'll probably just pick out a few races and do those and collapse on Sunday, I think, is probably the answer. Although I have got to write a column for someone else on Sunday all about Cheltenham. So the work won't end. So in short, I probably concentrate more on, I do concentrate mostly on Cheltenham, and it's the same for Aintree, same for Royal Ascot. They're the three big ones. They're the three big meetings for me of the year when I probably don't look at the other racing too much.
Okay. So on to today, the final day. It all ends here. This is our last one. We open up with the 1:30. Let me just get the market up over here a second. We open up with the 1:30, 2 mile, 1 furlong hurdle. Lossy Mouth, when I did it this morning, was 2.7. It's now 2.66. You'll correct me, as you have done all week, if I'm wrong, but it's hard to look past...
I don't do it on purpose.
No, you do. No, I get the reason why you do it. It's hard to look past the first four in the betting here. I like, just at more of a price gauge thing, I like Zenta at the price, which is now 13. And obviously, Lossy Mouth does look half decent. So the way I'm playing this race is I am going to back Zenta win and place. I think it definitely can force its way into the first three. And I'm going to cover with Lossy Mouth. If Blood Destiny or Gala Marceau win, then so be it. So I'm having £30 win on Zenta at 13, £25 place, and a £30 win, straight win bet on Lossy Mouth. I got 2.68. It's 2.66 now. Morning, Suggsy.
It's 2.58 on my tissue, so you're certainly in the right ballpark. So I'm going to win no prizes for punditry here that I cannot see past probably a Mullins 1, 2, 3, possibly a 4 as well, since he's got the first four in the market. Britain have got no chance of winning this. Having said that, just gives me a slight digression. GB are 15-6 behind on the old. Whatever it's called now, that some Prestbury Park Cup or whatever it's called. I could see an Irish clean sweep today. I've got two races where I think we've got a chance.
What's your bet? What's the most you've got?
I've got it cut. If they have a clean sweep today, I think I'm just about, I've got 21.7 is the highest. I didn't do 22.6, which would be the highest. So therefore, I'm
so you need a GB winner.
I need a GB winner today, and I'm fine. Right. I'm fine. If I get a GB winner, I should be fine. Therefore, I have covered today. Betfair have got a market up 7-0 to the Irish at 3-1, which I think is reasonable value, and I've covered at 5-4, 6-1. So if you can't get on with Betfair, then I think Sky Bet are 5-2 to win all the races, and even money to Ireland to get 6+. But there is no earthly way, unless everything falls over, that Britain are winning this. And I'd probably agree with you that Lossie, I'd be slightly in favour of Lossie Mouth over Blood Destiny. The one little stat about Gala Marceau you might want to note down the future. Willie Mullins has got a very, very poor record with horses. He puts a hood on first time out. And lots of them, as my lot will know, have been beaten at very, very short prices as well. He hasn't got a great record. The horse needs to settle a bit better. And sometimes you put a hood on, which is meant to settle them down. It can spark them up. But I'd see Lossie Mouth and Blood Destiny both in front of that. But it's not a race I'm going to be playing in. I may well, if I can find a decent price, I might just on the tote put in some silly forecast with all the Mullins for, or the Mullins fancied for, but not that it's going to pay a lot, but it'd be a race I'd be happy to sit and watch.
Got a few strong opinions here. We've got Blood Destiny for me if it goes left-handy. Daniel Lyons, who's had a half-decent week, I think. Lossie puts Leopards down right today.
You can put all that lot together. They can all have a bet amongst themselves. There you go.
Yeah. And what does Andy think of Gala Marceau? Well, he's just said that, obviously, having the hood up right today.
It needs to settle, and the trainer's record with a first-time hood isn't great, I must admit. In fact, while you're introducing the next race, I can even look that up on my wonderful Proform system.
Proform, you crack on. While you're doing that, the 2.10 is 26 runners, 25 now. So there's a non-runner since I looked earlier today. I don't know which one's been pulled out. Magna Glory has been pulled out this morning.
That was well back yesterday. Just to go back on that Willie Mullins stat, Willie Mullins' first-time hooded hurdlers is 7 winners from 67 runners. If you're looking at statistics properly, as you should, and looking at the winners above expected, so what's expected by the betting market, he's about 6.5 winners below where he should be. And if you'd have backed them all, you'd be losing about 37 points at SP. So if anybody tells you that's a positive today, it certainly ain't statistically.
Right, okay. Thank you for that. Love that. This is the stuff I love, see. That's sort of a football application to racing. I like it. I've had a text this morning for Hunter's Yarn. I think this has been punted well. I don't know whether that's right or not. And I myself am then going to stick with Form Stables. You've mentioned him already this morning. I'm going to add in Bally Adam for Henry and Rachel. Bally Adam, I looked this morning, finished behind Gaelic Warrior, who ran pretty decent here the other day. Likes to jump right, but it ran a decent race. So I'm backing Hunter's Yarn, £25 winner 8.2 and £25 place 2.52. And Bally Adam, I backed at 16. It's into 15 now. I had 25 winner 16 and £25 on the place at 4.
I'm sure there's one.
I don't like the all.
I'm sure there's one or two plots here. We agree with Hunter's Yarn. I thought he might go off favourite for this. He really reminds me of a horse called State Man, who won this last year. He's off a mark of 147. He did look a really smart young horse. He won easily at Navan last time out. Mullins has got a good record in this race. He's won it a record-breaking 6 times, so it won't surprise me if he wins it the 7th. He's also got the down-in-grade Charger. He's downgraded a few horses in this. It's only the second time that Charger's ever run in a handicap, and he usually been seen running up the backsides of some decent horses in various champion hurdles. So he has been placed in a champion hurdle. Certainly give him a chance. But another Mullins runner, but not a Willie Mullins runner, interests me as well. The Emmett Mullins runner, Filey Bay, ran an absolute stormer behind the front running Auckland Risk in the Betfair hurdle. Don't really think he got the run of that race. He was anti-post favourite. He's drifted a bit. So I'm certainly going to keep Hunter's Yarn and the horse I've just mentioned, Filey Bay, on side. This is the race the Brits could have a say in, because you've got Pembroke in here, who's been well backed from the Skelton.
You've been asked what you think of Pembroke.
He doesn't look the same as the other horses they run in this race, in that I think the other three they plotted up for it, and this one has sort of come out and think, hang on, we can put this in there. The others have been a bit older. He's a first season hurdler, which is very, very different from the other horses. I think he's got too short now. What price is he now, Ian?
He's 6.8, Pembroke.
Yeah, I think that's too short in relation to the two Irish horses I've mentioned. I wouldn't put anyone off backing him, but I wouldn't be backing him. Personally, I wouldn't be backing him. If I had to back a GB horse, I think Gin Coco would be my preference amongst the GB horses. He's got the same, really much the same profile as one of the Skelton horses that won this, a horse called Superb Story. So you could take a look at him. But I like the Mullins record in the race, and be foolish to ignore him. So Hunter's Yarn, I'd definitely be with Hunter's Yarn there, Filey Bay. And at bigger prices, I'd keep an eye on a horse called Path de Roux and Winter Fog.
Winter Fog is 32 and Path de Roux 18.5. Gin Coco is basically Kerry Blaber's daytime and nighttime drinks mixed together. That's probably what she takes to bid.
The gin or the cocoa?
Yeah, probably both together. Right, so that's the two big ones, Winter Fog and Path de Roux. I know people like big prices. Right, on to the 250. 20 runners, Corbett's Cross heads the field, 3.95. I thought it looked a little bit short this morning. I have three here. I'm going with Inform Trainers, Stables, Jockeys. I'm going with Henry and Rachel again. I think Hidden Valley Lake has a half-decent chance here. Embassy Gardens for Mullins and Townend. And again, on a text this morning, I had a massive pride. I know nothing about this horse, but somebody told me it's way too big. And that is Rock My Way, ridden by Nick Schofield. So yeah. I am on Hidden Valley Lake, £25 win at 9.6, £20 place, 3.35. £25 win Embassy Gardens at 11.5, £20 place, 3.75. And Rock My Way, 20 win, I'm not 48, it's now 44, and £20 place, 11.5. Over to you.
Right. I think this is quite a hard race to win, and it's a deep renewal as well. And you can argue the chances for plenty in this. The one thing I would say, it wouldn't surprise me to see a second string from a stable win where no favourite has won since 2013. So let's deal with the two at the head of the market, which obviously are Corbett's Cross and Three Card Brag. Corbett's Cross recently bought for an undisclosed sum, but I wouldn't think it was far short, probably half a mil, by JP McManus. He looks progressive. I just wonder whether he might be a horse for a little bit more for the future. And the one slight worry I would have about him, I do think he's a very classy individual. In fact, he won over 2 miles last time out. But he will stay this trip because he's already run over it. But the horses that have run here in the last month, or had a run in the last month, are 0 from 36. I just wonder if they might just be coming back here a little bit too quickly. And Three Card Brag, his main market rival, he's a relentless galloper. He just needs a real stamina test. But I just feel there's something with a little bit more class in them might come out and beat. And I think if you look at the combined odds of those two at the moment are 7-4. And quite frankly, given the shape of the race, I'd be happy enough that the price is to look elsewhere. I respect them, but I'm not I don't really want to back them. So Hidden Valley Lake is definitely one that I want to be with. Henry de Bromhead ran that in a race that he's used as an Albert Bartlett trial before, when he got to give £6 to his stablemate Monty's Star. And off level weights, a sterner test of stamina, I'd expect to see him go well this year. Willie Mullins has won two of the last three runnings with novices, running a pattern race for the first time. So Embassy Gardens would fit that profile, but I wasn't completely convinced about his form. And if he's to pick it up again, I'd prefer to go with his C-Bank Bistro. He had a horse, he won it last year with the nice guy. And he looks to have a very, very similar profile. And two others at fair prices that have sneaked onto my radar are Sandor Clegane and Favori de Champdu. The form has got to run. It's the first time he's run beyond 2 miles six, but he very much gives the impression that he'll stay. And I think that's certainly one. And Favori de Champdu is another one I want to keep on side. So without what I've done here, I'm not going to lay the front two. I'm just going to do what I usually do, almost sort of pseudo lay them and happy enough to be against them. So the two main plays in the race for me are Hidden Valley Lake and Favori de Champdu. And I've thrown a couple of smaller darts, some minor bets at C-Bank Bistro and Sandor Clegane at 20-1 plus.
Okay, yeah, 34 on the exchange, Sandor Clegane. And that brings us to the big race of the day. Well, big race of the week, I guess. The Gold Cup. I got it right last year with a Plutard, who is running again into second favourite seven. I do love Galloping Deschamps. I think it's a fantastic horse. I backed it here last year when it fell at the last Guttingly. Brave Man's Game, obviously, Cape were going well. Noble Yates, some cracking horses. Manella Indo, a past winner. I am going to personally, I just love the race, but I'm going to back a Plutard. I'm on at 6.6. It's now 7, so it's drifted a little bit. I've got to back Manella Indo just because it's so good round here, past champion. So I'm on that £25 win at 22 and £20 place at 5.2 Plutard. I'm backing win only. And then I'm covering on Galloping Deschamps, 40 quid at 2.66, now into 2.6. It's been boosted, I'm told, in the chat here by Galloping Deschamps, has been boosted to 9-4 with Bet365. If you can get on.
I don't even think the cap's got an account there now.
So, personally, I'd love to see a Plutar win again. But if it doesn't, I'd be more than happy to see Galloping Deschamps win. But, yes, over to you.
I'd quite like to see a Plutar, because a couple of weeks ago, I told my lot to have a little dabble at 8s and 15-2. So we're on the right side of the price, just because we thought that, you know, the yard were coming back to a bit of form. It was a little bit of a chancy one. You've got to forgive the blowout, which is inexplicable, when he just didn't run a race in a Betfair Chase. And it's been well documented he's had some problems since. But if he's back to that sort of form, Galloping Deschamps got to run to his best. The indications are that he should be. I wouldn't put anyone off back in a Plutar. Galloping Deschamps, I think you want everything right when you back a sort of 6-4, 13-8 chance. Having said that, I wouldn't put anyone off using him as a cover bet, you know, to win your sort of cup of tea or something like that, as you've done, Ian. He is a fantastic horse. I mean, after that bizarre fall last year, and I'm not even sure it was more of a sort of stumble in the end, wasn't it? He's won three Grade One contests by 18 lengths, 13 lengths, and 8 lengths. And he's had several of today's rivals behind him. There is a slight stamina doubt. We all know that 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs, it's a real stamina test. It doesn't look like it's going to be particularly deep ground. Looking at the times yesterday, it was good to soft. But it still will be a test. And there's plenty in this who will want to turn it into a real test. Horses like Ahoy Senor, Statler, and even Noble Yates. And of that sort of three that won a real stamina test, I think Noble Yates is the most interesting. If there's one double figure price I'm interested in, it's Noble Yates. I think he'll reverse the Cotswold form with Ahoy Senor, because I always believe they were working towards this day. The cheeky pieces that he wore in the National, they're back on today. That's usually a good sign. I think he's probably the one that's a bit overpriced. Conflated and Brave Man's Game for me, I think they've got to prove their stamina. I'm not convinced about Brave Man's Game. He reminds me of a lot of Clanders Obo, ran a couple of times in this for the Nichols team and blew out. If I was going to throw a real mad one in, Manila Indo isn't completely out of this with the stable form, but I've already backed a Plutar, so I'm on the right side of the price. I managed to get about a couple of hundred quid on it, 8 and 15 to 2, so I might just trade that for a free bet. I wouldn't put anyone off covering on Gullers and Deschamps, but I would just use it literally as a cover. And if I was going to trade one today, it would be very much Noble Yates. I do think he's got a good chance.
Okay, good. And just to say, those of you who are on Andy's information, that has just been emailed out, so you can check your inboxes now and get the wise man's words. And you've been asked what thought of one Ahoy Senor, where you kind of covered that you thought Noble Yates, was it Noble Yates would reverse the form with it? Was it that one?
I think it will, yeah. Conflated, I don't know, I always think he's a better horse round sort of Leopardstown, somewhere like that. I'm not saying he can't win. Noble Yates probably stay on. Sounds Russian, I'd love to see it win. A horse I've been with on several occasions and got, was he won 4 races this year. I think he'd probably need really deep ground. Probably one for this sort of extended place. If he gets down to sort of 5 places, you might see him plug on, but I'd rather play Noble Yates in that sort of market.
I don't think anybody wants to be found at about 3:40 this afternoon shouting, "Come on, Russian," in this present climate, the present climate in the world. Make sure you throw the sound. Make sure you throw the sounds in first. And then we move to the Fox Hunters at 4:10. Short favourites, actually drifted a little bit since I looked this morning. Vaux Select, it was 3.65 when I was doing this morning. It is now just going back that Hewick. Any thoughts on Shark's Horse Hewick in the Gold Cup?
The ground might be a little bit against him. With Fairy Tale to see him win, but I think they're probably.
Daniel and Mark can come to their own agreement. Daniel's got an Andy post.
they can have a bet amongst themselves. I'd be with Daniel. I don't think he's quite up to it. And to be honest with you, I think the ground's probably a little bit against him. But
get yourselves on PayPal, or we'll act as escrow if you want to like sort out transactions.
I only take 5% commission. I am.
Yeah, only a small fee for some escrow. Yeah. So Vaux Select 3.9. Obviously, I don't know anything about this really, but it looks to have a good chance. But I'm going to be going for a couple of prices here that are quite attractive to me. One is the Storyteller. You mentioned Cod yesterday. He's on board the Storyteller at 13. And one I like to run a decent race is Go-Go Geronimo. I'm on at 36. It's now into 32. So I'm on the Storyteller, £25 win at 13.5, £20 place 4.1, the 3 places. And Go-Go Geronimo, £20 at 36 and 20 place at 8.4.
Well, let's deal with Go-Go Geronimo. Again, good trainer. It's the girl I spoke about earlier, Laura Morgan. It's her sister who trains this. She has had a second and third in this race by a horse called Topwood. Be a surprise if he could match those efforts, but was placed here last April at the Hunter Chase meeting. So has got some form around here. I'll say this up front, it's not a race I profess to know loads about. Fortunately, I know 2 men who do, because I know two other good friends of mine.
Good judges.
Oh, really good point-to-point judges. And so I usually get the inside track from them. There's no doubt that the trainer of Vaux Select, David Christie, he's probably got three, he's either got the 3 best hunter chasers in Britain or Ireland, or three of the best. Unfortunately, he's very ill in hospital at the moment. His son's doing the training, also called David Christie. So it would be a, I'm sure it would be an emotional win for Vorselet. He is a very good horse. He's only eight, and he'd be the youngest winner since Saltify in 2013, who also won age seven as well. On all known form, he's the one to beat. Especially as I think one of the main dangers, Billaway, the winner last year, probably looks to be on the wane a little bit. I see they've managed to stick the blinkers on that. One of the other main players against him, Famous Claremont, is probably the main GB hope. And we have actually won four of the last six renewals of this. The one negative against Famous Claremont is that he ran really badly here at the Big Hunter Chase meeting in April. And his jumping just fell apart. He's certainly got an engine, this horse, but he's always got a mistake in him. So you've got to watch for that. There's lots of former sort of decent horses under rules here that rock up. Your Storyteller, whose last time he ran at Cheltenham, or last time he ran at the Cheltenham Festival, was fifth in the Stayers Hurdle. Chris's Dream, who's run at a very high level, and Shantou Flyer has always enjoyed it around here. Those types of horses always seem to get back for this, but they never seem to win it. If there's a dark horse in the race, it's a horse called Rocky's Howyer, who's been well touted. He's won 5 points of points in a row. Don't really know how good he is or if he's improved. The last time he ran under rules, he ran off a mark of 106, which wouldn't be particularly high. If his pointing form's as good as it's cracked up to be, he's certainly got a chance. There's one I've put up as a dart, but I won't give that away here because that's a bit unfair. It's just at a big price. It might be a bit of a dart. I'm with Vorselet. I've got him in a double with Delta Work. It's nothing major, I can assure you of that, but I'd be pleased to see him win. And I do think he's the best horse in the race, but beyond that, it's not a big betting race for me.
Okay, and we have been asked, have you any thoughts of it on It's On The Line?
Hang on, I'd have to look him up. Hang on, I'll see what I wrote about him now. Yeah, it's an interesting run. It's low mileage, and the stable he represents. Trainer has sounded confident about his chances, but his overall form doesn't really look to match that at the current price, would be what I would say. And the other, you're quite right, Matt. The other two, yeah, Fernhill is the one of the other Christie horses. I'm just desperately trying to remember the name of the other one now, which someone will probably tell me. It ran second in this last year, Wing Leader. So they're two horses to watch out for. I'm not sure. I probably think Wing Leader is probably going to Aintree, and maybe Ferns is going there as well. But as I say, it'd be a nice win. Be a nice win for the Christie team, because the David Christie Senior is very ill in hospital at the moment in Northern Ireland.
All right. Well, best of luck to them then. And just for those of you interested, we'll just interrupt this broadcast for a football draw. City have drawn Bayern in the Champions League, and Chelsea have drawn Real Madrid, and the winners play in the semi-finals. No one cares. No one cares. Right. The 4.50. Two head the market. They've moved slightly. They were both matched at 3.0 this morning for me. Allegri de Vassi and Impervious. Allegri de Vassi is 2.98. Impervious just shading it now, 2.92. I couldn't separate them. I couldn't find anything I wanted against them. So I'm watching this one, Andy. I'm doing nothing. So I'll leave it to you.
I ain't doing much more either. I can see a place for this race, but I just don't think it's at the festival. And whilst I'm a massive supporter of Yes, We Need a Mayor's programme, but there's a Mayor's race day at Cheltenham in April, where all the races are for Mayor's. Stick it on there and bring back the novices handicap chase. That's what I'd do. I don't know why they got rid of that race. Ridiculous. Having said that, I couldn't see past, well, the Irish are going to win this. Either Allegri de Vassi or Impervious. The former jumps out to her right, which isn't ideal here, and that may see her trade a little bit bigger in running if you wanted a sort of later back angle. But it won't be a surprise if we see another Irish one, two, three, possibly four, and it may not be the first one on the day either. Can we move on?
Interesting that Allegri de Vassi. It was a Betfair SP of 1.17 its last race. It did trade up as high as 13.
It clumped in, nearly fell at the first. That's why.
Oh, was it? Oh, well, there you go.
Go back and watch. You can find that race and the replay of it. Yeah, it nearly fell at the first, but it does jump out to the right.
Yeah. And then that brings us to the old get out of jail stakes. It's all over for another year, which is always a little bit. I always find it a little bit depressing when it ends. And you've got to think.
You've got racing tomorrow. Utoxx is a fantastic card tomorrow.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not a big racing man, so we'll be moving on to the football tomorrow. This is sort of my way.
Are you actually going to do some football in the morning tomorrow instead of sitting on your backside?
You're a fucking idiot. You're an absolute fucking idiot. Honestly, absolutely unbelievable. Everybody who's waiting for football stuff from me, there actually hasn't been much midweek. Everything will be out after lunch today, and then tomorrow normal service will resume.
We might be having a baby celebration tomorrow.
Yeah, we might. Yeah. Mark, who people were mentioning earlier, will be. Look, Kerry's jumping on that now. You just do it to the worst people. That's the trouble. Right, let's get the 5:30 at Cheltenham. I'm always a little bit sad when it ends. I am, because I do love the meeting. I haven't watched as much of it as I normally do this week for home situations, but I've really enjoyed doing these. I can't stress it enough. Been brilliant. Call Survivor should go well. Favourite, it was 6.4 when I got on this morning. I'm backing it as cover. But I was looking down but I always like to have a couple of prices in the last just in case I'm a long way behind. So I've got a bit of chance to get some back. So I've gone for two that were in their 30s this morning. One's been backed into 27. Now I'm on firm footings. £25 win I was on at 32 and £20 place at 5.7. And I'm on, can't even find them now, a Willie Mullins Haxo, £25 win at 34.
Have you been reading this before it's sent?
No, I haven't read your thought. I genuinely haven't. No, £20 place, 6.6. And I've covered it with Call Survivor, £20 win at 6.4. Is that what? Right. Are we in agreement then?
Well, we're in some sort of agreement. All right. Oh, full disclosure here, and I have to say this, is that a couple of weeks ago, boys of my service, I said to them, back Call Survivor at 8-1, which we all have. So we're sitting pretty on that.
All right.
I think the current price is a little tight, but I can still see him running a big race. Obviously, Ireland have dominated this race. They've won it 8 times since 2009 when it was inaugurated. Willie Mullins is that man again. He's won it 4 times from 26 runners. And Gordon Elliott's won it twice from 28. There's obviously, Elliott loves to win this race because obviously his connections with the Pipe Yard from when he started off. They're well represented again. Elliott's on a blanket bomb this year. He's got, what, six runners. Willie's only got three. Willie can only find 3 runners this year. I think Elliott's the right place to start with Call Survivor. I think he looks, you know, when I went through this about a couple of weeks ago, he looked the one, and 8-1 non-runner, no bet. I think he's a little bit tight now, but I'd still want to keep him on side if I've not backed him. Imagine is another one of the Elliott team I really do like as well. He was a staying on runner-up behind Hunter's Yarn, the aforementioned Hunter's Yarn in the county hurdle, in a listed hurdle at Navan last time out. That was his first run for 78 days. That should have put him spot on for this. I'm not particularly keen on Spanish Harlem for the Mullins trio. His jumping's been more missed than hit. Certainly got the best rider in the race. But the one I did like out of his team was Haxo. I thought he could be quite interesting. The GB runners, we have got a bit of a chance here. There's been one that's been really well backed in Rocco. For Josh Guerrero and Oliver Greenall. Really good training duo, those pair. They've had a smashing year. I just think he's a little bit too short now. The two from the home team that I would have a lot of respect for are Might Eye and Irish Hill. Might Eye split Hacker de Plas and Picar, who's won again since in a good race here on Trials Day. I think the fact that they're going back up in trip certainly suits him. Paul Nichols has won this twice back in 2013 and 2016. Irish Hill's progressive, won a decent race at Ascot last time out. If I pull all those threads together, Call Survivor, definitely keep him on the right side. Haxo's the interesting outsider. Certainly be looking at Imagine as well, and Mai Tai would be my choice of the best of the Brits. But hopefully, but if Ireland are 6-0 up by then, I'll be hoping for an Irish winner.
Yeah, and we've been asked your thoughts on Felix Desji. Felix Desji, which is 90.
Well, it's a question of which Felix Desji turns up, isn't it? Which side of the stable? I'm just looking at my card, see what I actually wrote on him. He's got respectable Cheltenham Festival form in 3 attempts. He won a grade one earlier in his career, but it's been a bit of a mixed bag of late. I probably gave his running when he was second last time out, but again, I'm not sure he'd be in quite the same mood. And I do think there's some better handicapped horses in this race.
Right. Okay. There you are. Better handicapped horses, Daniel. Right. And that concludes it, really. That's it. Obviously, we won't get through. We'll perhaps cover Cheltenham. We'll perhaps do a post Cheltenham one sometime, Andy, when we both got a bit of time. Where we can go last day.
I generally write the meeting up. As I say, I've got to write a column for my good friend Paul Jones, who I do a lot of work with, for his site for next week as well, for his members. So I generally write that up. I don't think anyone would mind if I probably published it here, if anybody would want it. And going forward, if people have enjoyed them, I suppose we could do Aintree and Royal Ascot.
I think the next thing for this, guys, is... I ask for it all the time. We get very little of it, but Kerry's in here. You can send it to support@ftsincome.co.uk. You can put it in the Telegram group. You can leave comments on underneath the video on YouTube. If you can like the video, if you like it, it's not for anything else other than to give us feedback. We've loved doing this, but if we're going to be talking to ourselves, clearly we're not. We've had a good turnout every day, but if you like this stuff, we can do more of it and we can put it together, but we need to plan it and get the time set aside to do it. You know, I'm really appreciative. It's a busy week for Andy that he's given up, in effect, you know, 4 hours of time being on the screen, but the work that goes into being ready to get for us to talk, you know, it's not my scene at all. This, I'm purely just on talking about it with a guy who knows what he's talking about. I really do, Andy. I've said it a few times. I really appreciate you giving up your time this week for this. But if you guys can give us some feedback, that's what helps us. I am going to go through the card today. I'm cleaning up, and then I'm back to football tomorrow and the proper work. And unlike the racing boys, when it's all over at 5 o'clock, I don't get to pack up and go home.
Obviously, I do run a smaller service alongside, well, I'm not tripping anyone's toes here, alongside that, I have developed 3 or 4 people into being full-time punters now, so it is very much, I wouldn't say it's one-to-one, but we are a small band, most of which are FTS members as well, so the two work well alongside each other. If anyone's interested, I've sent you some details. I suppose if anyone's interested in that, it's not a short-term thing. Not because I want to take your money for 6 months or a year, but it's like you always say, Ian, you know, if you're looking for something to develop and develop the knowledge over sort of the next couple of years, then yes, I'm your man. If you're looking for a quick few bob, then there's plenty of other services out there without being rude.
And of course, you're more than welcome to drop us an email, support@ftsincome.co.uk, and we will pass your details on to Andy. Brilliant. Thank you ever so much, mate. I've got my Irish green. Happy St. Patrick's Day to our Irish friends.
Have a couple of games. Maybe we'll get over there.
I hope you go 6-1 so my mate gets some money for his thing. Thanks ever so much. And we'll...
6-1 will be all right. Yeah, I'll take 6-1 that.
6-1 will be handy. Yeah. And best of luck to you all on your own bets. Good luck, Daniel, today. Best of luck with everybody else on their bets this afternoon. Enjoy the racing, and I'll be back football and podcasts and YouTubes and things over the next few weeks as the good lady gets better. And I'll link up with Andy sometime in the future. Thanks ever so much, guys.